Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, one and all. I'm Bishop Randy Dean here again with you for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values than love devolve into and become BS, bait and switch, blame and shame, perhaps other things that connect to BS. Whatever the case may be, love is the better choice. It's the only choice above that. And above all the noise and above all the static of our clamoring culture, time after time, I think, oh, please, somebody turn down the volume on our cultural dialogue. Oof. So I'm here trying to bring some new and fresh light into the conversation of us all. And I'm glad you come in here and listen to me rant and rave on love. Preaching hellfire and brimstone, which is love. There is no fire hotter than love, and that's why I'm here. So thank you. If you've never been here before, I'm honored. I truly treasure that you've chosen to give me a half an hour of your life and time. What we do here on a pretty regular basis is we recite love's creed to start with, and then we'll close with a couple of exercises as it relates to the practice of love. But back to love's creed, something I wrote as a New Year's resolution several years ago. It became so useful, so practical for my thinking and for my purposes in life, I decided to edit it toward a creed, and now I share it with you all. If you'd like a copy of this, please send me an email at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's Randy Dean Ministries, all one word, all lowercase, at Gmail. Be happy to send you a copy. And then I promise not to wart and fuss with you over the email list that I'm developing to badger and cajole people, because that would be BS. That would be bait and switch. I'm not going to bait and switch you. I'm just offering something for your practical daily purposes called Love's Creed. Here it is. I'll read it in full, then I'll go back and offer it to you as a vow so you can repeat after me. Here it is, first of all, in total. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. All right, there it is in total. Now let's go back through it. I'll read a phrase and then you repeat after me. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Has a certain ring to it, doesn't it? I know, I'm breaking my arm to pat myself on the back since I wrote it, but it does have a lilt and a rhyme about it that I truly enjoy. And I keep it in front of me in my iPad, and I read it. I read it to myself and for myself routinely, and I'd invite you to do the same. Those things that we speak out of our meditations are those things that we have the potential of becoming. When you say it, it becomes a goal. It becomes a marker, a bullseye. But when you keep it kind of tucked away and sort of secret, well, yeah, not so much. It's time for us to be a people who enjoy the prospect and the beauty of the potential of love. Love, I tell you, that subject, strategic love, is what I want to talk to you about today. How to see love as a strategy for life. I believe love will give us the tools to strategically position itself and ourselves as a filter through which we can view and see and define every reality before us. It's a filter, yeah, I know, and it commands so much internal inspection of our own life, first of all, and primarily, but it also helps us to see others in a manner that's far less judgmental, far less crippling to our relationships. When love is a strategic position, a strategic plan, it'll create a vision for others. Now, I understand there are a lot of people that are easily unlovable. I've met a few. I'm sure you have too. I have had my fair share of painful relationships in my 71 years, and I know what it is to see someone and say, "Wow, that was miserable. That was angry or crabby." I've been there. I get it. I'm not suggesting that everybody's going to just have some kind of easily viewed target on their forehead for our love. But I do believe that love becomes a strategy. Love is a strategic position that we can hold and take and stand right there. Here's where I stand. I can do no less. I will be no less than a loving human being, even when I'm attacked, even when verbally someone comes after me, or not just in my face, but behind my back, as we like to say. It's the human risk. That's the word I'm looking for. It's the human risk of relationships that we're all struggling with, right? But if I can sustain love, love's creed would be a good way to help you sustain it. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. There's a strategic way of defining the world. So the strategic position of love gives me a filter. So when I look at somebody who is acting in an unloving manner toward me, now I've got some choices to make about what I'm going to do with this circumstance, what I'm going to do with this relationship. I do get that there are boundaries we need with some people, and boundaries can be built with love. I've heard it said that a boundary is the distance through which I have to love myself and you in a safe manner, so that boundaries aren't walls, but they're flexible enough to maintain my self-love while I love you at some distance, so that your ragged, rough behavior doesn't continually beat me up. We have the right as individuals to decide who it is we want in our life on some intimate level. There's a wide variety of choices we all get to make. But if we can keep those choices rooted in love, first of all, self-love. If I'm loving myself, taking good care of me with forgiveness and mercy and patience and kindness toward myself, well, now I'm going to settle down all this dust of misery and anger and, you know, despair, the stuff that comes roaring at us when we're overly exposed to people of their own misery. But I can create a boundary, and then from that boundary, I can safely love someone. And when I safely love someone at a safe distance, it gives me the opportunity to see them in a different light. I'm going through right now a review of the seventh year of my older brother, my only sibling, of his passing. He died by suicide, by overdose, 7 years ago. He lived his whole life in some kind of broken way, which I never learned the details. I just knew the results of his misery. And as I watched him self-destructing over all of the years I knew him, he's 6 years older than me, so better part of 70 years, I knew my brother. I knew my brother to be an unhappy soul, a fighter, guy that would rather throw fists than throw a baseball. There was something wrong. There was something unhealthy inside of him. And I never got the privilege or the ability to see what those somethings were. I had some ideas, but not a real defining clue. Now, I'm in my grief, which I routinely monitor me so that I know I'm grieving well. When I grieve well, I'm loving myself well. And when I love myself well, I can look at others and recognize something in them was unloved. And so when I see my brother, for instance, and all of the pain that he suffered, and I said at his memorial service that you took all these demons to the grave with you, and I don't know what it is in you that was unloved. And I just want you to know, standing here now, I love you, and I wish all the best for you in your life off of this planet to walking on into the next life. My heart was broken, not because I was hating him, but because I loved him so. And not because I loved him for all these great and wonderful positive personality traits. No, I loved him because I knew there was something completely unloved in his misery and in his darkness. So what I'm trying to say to you now through my own story is I urge you to join me in seeing everyone in their story, which is what love will do for you. And again, remember, boundaries are essential to sustain a healthy love life for everyone around you. You may have to say to them or write it down as a reminder for yourself, I'm going to be over here loving you at a safe distance. But whatever the case is, I'm going to keep a strategy. That's our topic for today. I'm going to keep a strategy for my love. Your life is not going to change my strategy. My strategy is love. Because out of that strategy of love, I'm taking good care of me as well as all the relationships that surround me. It's tough. It's not easy. That brings up the subject for me about those that might feel like, well, you're just easy peasy, hippie idea about just loving the whole world. It's so easy for you to do. And I laugh at that because it's not easy. This is the hardest choice, really. Love is the hardest choice of all of our human relationships. It's expensive emotionally. It's expensive psychologically. It's expensive in terms of the investment of my energy. This strategy of love, whew, it commands obedience of me. It commands me to live in a reflective and a repentant lifestyle. I'm always amused at my brothers and sisters of faith who are pounding the drum of how the world needs to repent. And I would suggest to all my brothers and sisters of faith, well, let's show them how. By us being repentant, repentant of our unloving behavior, repentant of our judgmentalism, repentant of our harsh words, repentant of threatening everybody we see that we don't like, threaten them with hell. Let's give them hell and make sure that they know that out of God's character, they deserve hell. Well, guess what? That's not working, is it? 40 million people have walked away from the church since the turn of this century, and I'm telling you, we're going to have to find a better strategy. A strategy, I believe, born in love. So love strategically positions itself so that when I see foolishness happening at my expense, I take good care of me. I recognize that I should take nothing personally. Nothing, even the hatred or unloving behavior that comes at me. This isn't about me. It's about something unloved and broken in the heart of the soul of the person giving me all that misery. So when I have that kind of love loss in somebody that I'm not getting love back, though I am loving toward them, well, now I've got to see how that is shaping me. And it can shape me for the better or for the worse. When I'm losing traction in seeking to love somebody, well, that's shaping me. And when I see that and I know that I'm I'm losing traction in my giving love and it's not coming back. I've got to take good care of my meditations, my contemplations. Once again, what's my strategy? My strategy is to navigate this life with love. The strategy of managing my relationships, first and foremost, with love. So when I see somebody in their behavior toward me, it causes me pain. Well, now I'm just gonna take a good, strong look at me. Why has this hurt me? Why am I walking around with this pain from somebody who they may not even know they're causing me pain, but I know it? What's my love loss? And then looking at them to say, what's their love loss? And how can I, through boundaries, keep my love strong? Keeping my love alive. Alive, I'm alive to love. So, my obedience, my strategy to love, restructures what I'm seeing and witnessing in the world around me. The world around me is at war with various factions. The world around me is politically divided. The world around me is religiously divided. The world around me is lobbing emotional and physical grenades across the chasm. How do I manage this life? Well, I'm going to manage it with love. Love for the victims of the aforementioned battles. Love for the enemies of my soul. Love for those that I would agree with, and loving them enough to say, hey, let's take good care to do what Jesus said. Love your enemies. There's not a moment in this life that is isolated from the potential strategy of love. There's not a moment in this world. There's not even an insignificant encounter with somebody that gives me an out from walking the strategy of love. For instance, in the most minute encounter with another human being at a cash register, in a grocery store, or at a gas station, if love is my strategy, if they're fumbling because they're new, or maybe they're fumbling with the interaction, the business exchange we have, their fumbling isn't an invitation for me to become unkind and impatient. That fumbling is an invitation for the strategy of love. Gives me the opportunity to look at this person who's frustrated or maybe a blank expression and to define them as someone needing my love, however brief that love may be, because this person standing there fumbling with a cash register may have just gotten the worst news that you could ever imagine hearing. Maybe they've got a mother, a father, a brother, or a sister who's recently passed away. Or maybe they've gotten their own bad news from a doctor, and here they are working at a minimum wage task, and they can't take off just because they got bad news. They have to work on. They've got to power through the pain. And now I'm looking at somebody with a strategy that, whether it's true or not, if I strategically see them in a context of love, well, now I'm managing this minor, brief relationship with the strategy of love. I'm determined to smile, to connect with them, even if they don't connect back with me. I'm determined to be patient, even if they're not patient with me. I'm determined to speak kindness to them. If they say, thank you for your business, a local business here that I'm very fond of, Quick Trip here in Wisconsin. It's a Wisconsin-based company. They like to say, see you next time. I like to repeat it before they can get it out. Hey, I'll see you the next time. I just know that every strategic step I take in love, even with the smallest of relationships, I'm creating one more layer in this war-torn world, this world that is tearing itself apart in hatred. If I can create a layer, a buffer of love, even in the small places. I'm contributing to the potential of beating those swords into plowshares, right? The prophets of the Old Testament predicted a time when they would come to the mountain of the Lord and they would learn war no more. They would beat their swords into plowshares. Well, we tend to think of that as some magical time and some magical future, some nirvana way beyond our reach. And I don't. I don't look at it that way. I see it as the potential of Christ in me, the hope of glory. The hope of glory is what the prophets describe as they'll beat their swords to plowshares. Well, then how about me getting rid of my emotional swords? How about me taking all those weapons emotionally and mentally, those self-talk moments when I'm mad at somebody, turn that into food for the hungry, emotional food for the emotionally hungry? That's the strategy of love, the filter through which we view all people, the filter through which we see the future, rather than looking at the future in some cynical, hopeless means. Let me tell you something. Hope is alive when we love. All right. Well, I got to bring this conversation monologue into a landing pattern here in my preaching airport. We do two things here as we close Alive to Love, the No BS Bishop. And one is I encourage you to be a person of intense awareness of your breathing, to contemplate the short breathing that you do when you're tired or you're stressed. Slow it down every day. Take the opportunity to set up straight or stand up straight, put your feet flat on the floor, hold your head very straight as you can, and then inhale, not into your shoulders, but all the way down in your belly, down into your diaphragm. Pull some air down in there where the air doesn't always get. And then just give yourself the moment of relaxation to settle your nerves, settle your mind. Don't get so hurried up that your breathing gets shallow. And in order to keep your breathing healthy, stop and breathe well. On the count of three, I want you to take that deep breath with your feet flat on the floor and your head held high down to your diaphragm. One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it there. Nice and easy. And exhale. That is a daily sabbatical. Your mind will rest. Your emotions will settle, at least on some level, great or small. Do it for yourself, would you? Second exercise I encourage you to practice along with me is the repeating of the three most magical, charmed, and holy words in the human language. And those words are, I love you. Find someone, look them in the eye, slow it down. It's shattering. It's alarming. We're not used to saying it. We're not used to giving it. And people will dodge eye contact. And that's okay. Don't push it hard. But just let them know that you're offering something holy and beautiful. In a moment that can perhaps turn the tide of their day. And then maybe turn the tide of their life. When you say to somebody, I love you, you're connecting down in the soul of their living. And then they're left with something to manage. And maybe it'll make them mad, but maybe it'll create a joy in there. Perhaps it'll remind them of a sadness, but also it might remind them of a gladness. It's my goal to do this every day, somewhere, somehow, with somebody. And I know it's tough. I get it. It's not easy for me, and I'm the one who's challenging you to practice it. To say I love you really does demand a strategy of me, from me, and for me to others. I welcome you to that opportunity. Give it a shot. You'll thank me for it someday, I promise. All right, now get up and do something beautiful in this ugly world. Ugly is getting done to death, right? How about we be people of beauty, people of kindness, people of hope, people of positivity, people of especially the strategy of love. And that love would create a momentum, a shockwave in our world, however small or great, that perhaps like a butterfly's wings in the Amazon rainforest, pounding the air as that butterfly seeks to fly. And then maybe that little bit of air that those butterfly wings are stirring up, then the air stirs up beyond that to some climatological transfer of the air. And the next thing you know, that butterfly wing air stirring becomes a cool and wonderful breeze somewhere on somebody's worried face. How about we become people of beauty just like that? Go out and do something beautiful, people. Ugly's getting done to death. How about we be the people of a love alive? Lesser values than love just don't survive. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. It's been a pleasure to be with you once again. Happy trails.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.